Here's a twist. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. It's Jesse and Tausch for the time being. Jason had to step away. He'll be rejoining us at the bottom of the hour. Unfortunately, in Madison, you won't catch him at the bottom of the hour because we'll be joining Brewers baseball. But in Milwaukee and Beaver Dam, the show will continue and Jason will return. While Jason's away, Tausch, we are going to play Wisconsin Geography Wednesday trivia coming up in our next segment, presented by Vortex Golf. Like, so we got to make sure we let everybody know. Are you going to ask questions this time around? Like,
no, on Wednesdays I take off.
Okay.
I don't do,
so
I like to play because I love Wisconsin trivia. I love the geography part of it. I'm really starting to now. Was going through Portage and, you know, taking some of these back roads. You know, the cell reception's not great, but it's always fun. You get down different highways. I enjoy that. So, no, I'm going to play along.
All right, good to know. Well, I want you to play along with something here that a lot of our other ESPN Wisconsin shows touched on yesterday. Did you know, Tausch, that yesterday marked 100 days until the start of the 2025 NFL season?
I did know that. Yes, I saw that on Twitter.
A lot of articles. I think everybody had the same idea. 100 things to know about the upcoming season. 100 predictions. 100 whatever it is. So Ben Solak is an NFL writer over at ESPN.com. And he did 100 days to the 2025 NFL season. Things to know and predictions. Getting us set for the coming season. So there's a couple of good nuggets about the Green Bay Packers. And then there's one not so good nugget about the Green Bay Packers. I'll give you the good first. Under the category 10 names to know for the 2025 season from Ben Solak at ESPN.com, two Green Bay Packers names are listed in this category. Any guesses? Or should I just tell you?
Edgerrin Cooper will be one of them for sure.
He is one of them. Nicely done. The light bulb went on for Cooper last year as he rose from sub-package player to 100% snap starter by season's end. Solak writes, he said some other nice things about Edgerrin Cooper and says expect him to have a big year for the Packers defense this year.
Yeah, I would look at him. I think he has a chance. And again, he's going into his second year. You know, the light bulb going on or all, however you want to phrase it. But there is such a monumental difference in mindset from year one to year two. Because you now have a taste of what it takes to do the job. You can train that way. You're not going through the Shrine Bowl and the combine and where you're going to live and getting an apartment. And you now, it's just all ball. And Edgerrin Cooper, people forget, should have been a first-round pick. There are a lot of teams that have kind of went what Green Bay used to do, was to kind of devalue that off-the-ball linebacker spot. Green Bay saw that, and I am convinced that I don't think people realize how much postseason football will dictate how a team approaches their roster. And I am convinced that Goody had a complete change of heart than what Ted and, you know, maybe even Mike Sherman and some of the other guys had as GMs with just fine guys that collect tackles. I think when you saw what San Fran had with Bowman and Willis and then Varner and Greenlaw and then what Tampa had at their middle linebacker play and how that affected and really took Green Bay Packers playoff teams that should have went and done more, how that impacted it, I think Green Bay looked at this position as we need to get better and more impactful players. That's why they drafted Quay Walker, and that's why they drafted Edgerrin Cooper. And I think Edgerrin Cooper, Quay, everybody is raving about, you know, he got better. He's matured, obviously, from where he was. Edgerrin Cooper has a chance to be that, I think, that guy that Goody has envisioned when he saw these other players. You hope to see him showing those signs early and often and being impactful, not just a tackle collector.
So you're speaking pretty glowingly about Edgerrin Cooper for this coming season.
Well, how do
too?
You not when you, Jesse, I watched the end of the season. He played at a really high level. He started to get it. And some of the mistakes he made and where he was limited with why Jeff Hafley would play him is because he wasn't lining up. He maybe wasn't doing all the little things. And eventually your talent is so good, you're like, we have to live with some of those mistakes and let him grow. They did that, and they started seeing the benefits of that at the end of the season. And I think a big reason why Green Bay's defense gave Philadelphia the most problems of anybody, obviously there's other reasons, but I think Edgerrin Cooper is a huge part of why that defense got that much better as the season kind of finished up.
The other name to know, according to Ben Solak at ESPN.com for the coming season, is Elgton Jenkins, who we certainly know on this team. What do you think of Elgton Jenkins making the switch to center? Ben Solak says that's going to make him a more prominently known offensive lineman around the rest of the country.
I mean, I understand where Ben's coming from because there's less centers, but I think people that know ball really knew where Elgton Jenkins was. He has been one of the most versatile and best. That injury slowed his career arc down because he had to miss so much time and then maybe didn't get some of the all-pro or Pro Bowl nods that I thought he probably should have. But Elgton Jenkins has been a really good player for a long time. I don't fully understand. He's going into year 8 or whatever year he's going into.
He's been around a while to be in this category, I thought.
That's why I don't agree with it, and that's why I'm not really that excited about it. I think the Elgton Jenkins drama is going to be, when are you going to get his deal done? How is that going to shake out? And hopefully it'll be done and figured out by the time we get to whatever date. What is it, the 23rd of July, when training camp opens up in Green Bay?
So that was the good that both of those guys got, you know, nice shout outs from Ben Solak in the article saying, yeah, these are names you'll want to know this coming season. Meanwhile, there's another category within the article, 10 bold predictions that you shouldn't aggregate unless they end up being correct. I like that.
Why do you like that? Why do you like that? That basically means I have to
fun.
Fill space.
Yeah, he's having fun.
No, bold predictions are fine and fun.
We take them very seriously around here. We all know Boldathon
all right,
every
let's
September.
Hear what he had to say.
Ben Solak writes about the Green Bay Packers. The Packers will miss the playoffs. I will read the rest of this for you for context. I think, this is according to Ben Solak, ESPN.com. I think two of the biggest non-negotiables for playoff teams are having a pass rush and a dominant receiver. The Packers definitely don't have the first and still might not have the second, even after drafting Matthew Golden in round one. They were plus 12 in turnover differential last season, which ranked third in the NFL, but that tends not to be a sticky number. I'm also looking at the plus 24 Bills with supreme suspicion. That's what Ben Solak writes. So he thinks the Packers got a little lucky last year, being plus 12 turnover differential, and that with not having a true number one wide receiver and not having a dominant pass rush, they are not primed to have a successful 2025 season.
Yeah, what that tells me is Ben Solak doesn't believe in Jordan Love. That's what that tells me. I don't know why I don't think he's a local guy, right? He's a national guy.
He's a national writer, yes.
So I don't fully understand why. Just come out and say it, Ben. If you don't think Green Bay is going to be a playoff team, it's because you don't believe in Jordan Love. Period, Finn. All of the other stuff, he was hurt, didn't have a great year, but had still a pretty good year last year. Yes, the turnover margin, that is something that I think it's really hard to replicate year in and year out. That's why the Bears, with all of their struggles at quarterback, they always forced them. When they had their big years, they just got good and he got rolling with creating turnovers. That is more, I can understand Ben's point on that. But let's not kid ourselves here. You can make all these excuses. If you believe in the team's quarterback, you will, in a league now where seven teams make a playoff, you're not going to say, well, if you believe in that quarterback, you're going to say they're going to at least make the playoffs. And you can make excuses, oh, they're pass rush and all this other stuff. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and I'm not putting Jordan Love in that category. And by the way, you can have that take, but then stand on it and say that more so than anything else. And I think that's where you don't have a number one wideout. Did Josh Allen have a number one wideout last year? No, they didn't. You can make an argument, did Patrick Mahomes have a number one wideout last year? No, not really. He didn't. So Green Bay's wide receiving core obviously has to get better. But if you believe in Jordan Love, you're going to believe that the Green Bay Packers, at worst, are going to make the playoffs. At best, you're going to think have a shot at doing some things when it comes to postseason football.
Ben Solak might have some people dreaming fearfully. Of course, that's not what we like to say when it comes to American Family Insurance, Tausch.
Oh, I need American Family Insurance. Proud partner of Wilde and Tausch from the jump. And for almost 100 years, they've been committed to making life better with the right home and auto protection. Also, that you're free to enjoy your dreams. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com.
The time has come for Wilde and Tausch Trivia on a Wisconsin Geography Wednesday. Wilde and Tausch Trivia is presented by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on. Caller 15 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia right now at 844-770-3776. Today's questions, Tausch, are courtesy of Up North Joe, who we spent quite a bit of time with over the weekend. And there's a theme to today's questions. I'm going to leave that a secret until we get trivia underway. But Wisconsin Geography Wednesday, and then a theme within that category from Up North Joe's trivia questions that he's provided for us today. Caller 15, 844-770-3776. Caller 15 for Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. We will play next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Tausch back with you. Obviously, no Jason Wilde for the time being. He will return next segment for those of you who are still with us. A couple of housekeeping notes before we play Wilde and Tausch Trivia. So, the video stream is going to conclude after this segment on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Video stream is going to conclude because of how we're set up here for the final two segments of the show with our Madison station, 100.5 ESPN, carrying the Milwaukee Brewers game. So just wanted to make sure everybody knows that. The show will continue on the ESPN Wisconsin app and also on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam coming up next. It is time for Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. Wilde and Tausch Trivia, presented by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on. And today's contestant is Mason in Madison. Mason, welcome to Wilde and Tausch. Sorry you don't get the full effect with Jason stepping away for these segments. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We are well. How well do you know your Wisconsin geography?
I feel like I know it pretty well. I lived in the state my whole life, so we'll see. Wow. We'll give her a go.
All right. Well, let's go. From my buddy up north Joe, who we saw over the weekend as we hung out over Memorial Day weekend, here is today's Wilde and Tausch Trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Question number one. A 650-mile-long escarpment is visible in many locations in Wisconsin, such as the massive limestone cliffs in Door County. The escarpment is named for which iconic waterfall located in upstate New York? Is it Niagara Falls, Havasu Falls, or you lost me at escarpment?
That's good. That's good.
I'm going to go Niagara.
Niagara Falls is the guess, Tausch?
I would agree.
You are correct.
Circle gets the square.
Niagara Falls is correct. Question number two, Mason. Latitudinally. Which of these Wisconsin waterfalls is located farthest north? The theme is waterfalls, if you couldn't figure it out. Well, latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin waterfalls is located farthest north? Copper Falls in Mellon, Dave's Falls in Amberg, or Willow Falls in Hudson?
Hudson, I know that's up there, so that's my guess, Hudson.
Mason guesses Hudson. Tausch?
I'm going to say Copper Falls on this one.
One of you is right. And unfortunately for Mason, it's not him.
Ooh.
Copper Falls in Mellon, all the way up almost near Superior. Very far north in the state. Amberg's up near
the Crivitz
area, and Hudson. Yeah, Hudson's actually
good whitewater rafting up there in Crivitz. Told you that many times. Good whitewater rafting.
You have said
up there
that. I have seen it. Question three, chance to bounce back. Mason and Madison, Wilde and Tausch trivia. According to Travel Wisconsin, which county is known as Wisconsin's waterfall capital?
I should know this. My wife works for them.
Oh, boy. Is it Marinette? Marinette County?
You better get this.
Rusk County or Vilas County? Marinette, ooh. Rusk, or Vilas?
Man, I want to... Rusk. No, wait. Marinette. Wait. No, Rusk.
What are you going with?
We're going to Rusk.
I was going to say, I definitely didn't think it was Vilas. I thought it was
Rusk. I didn't either. Yep. There's too many lakes up there.
Yep, it is Marinette. Yep. Marinette County. Right.
Marinette?
Yeah.
Marinette is the waterfall capital of Wisconsin?
That's what they say. Saying? According to Travel Wisconsin, that is the case.
How many waterfalls are up in Marinette?
A lot. I could look into that for you. There's a lot of them. We did a waterfall tour up in that area because that's where we go up north to hang out. So, Mason, unfortunately, we're up against it here, but you do have two of the possible four entries for the Vortex swag bag and rangefinder in our drawing on Friday. Thanks for playing, and good luck to you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. You have a good one.
Mason and Madison, today's trivia contestant. Tausch, tell us about UW Credit Union.
For every stage of life, waterfall stage, lake stage, UW Credit Union is here forever. You proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years. They're going to help you reach your financial goals. And people ask me, why did you join UW Credit Union? Is it to keep your banking local? Yep. Is it the member first service? Absolutely. Or is it great perks like early payday? All of that, but honestly, I just love Bucky. Who can say no to that pretty little face? And if you love Wisconsin, like I do, you just can't pay with anything else. FanDuel will make you do crazy things, but man, this makes sense. Become a UW Credit Union member today and get your Bucky card like I did. Federally insured by NCUA. Terms and conditions do apply.
The show ends in Madison. Brewers baseball trying to sweep the Red Sox. Coming up next in Madison, Milwaukee and Beaver Dam, Jason Reed joins us. And Whoa Nelly, where I think we're going to fix college football, is coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks to everyone for sticking with us. Again, if you're looking for Brewers Red Sox, you can find that, of course, on 620 WTMJ, the pregame show underway, the flagship, and, of course, the Madison home of your Milwaukee Brewers 100.5 ESPN Madison. But we roll on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Milwaukee 94.5, and, of course, the YouTube channels. Time now for Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
We're gonna fix the college football playoff again.
I didn't know it was broken.
Neither did I, but they already corrected the seating last week, saying that they're going to go to straight seating as opposed to rewarding the conference champions like they did last year when Boise State and Arizona State got first-round byes. All the conferences are having like little meetings this week, and the SEC can't get aligned on how they want to do byes in the college football playoff. The latest proposal from several schools is they want to do, I think they're calling it a 5+11 model, which is five automatic bids for the four Power Four conference champions and then the best at-large team like a Boise State. And then 11 at-large bids so that the SEC could try and say, well, strength of schedule, look how good our conference is. Let's get, you know, eight of those 11 at-large bids coming from the SEC. The Big Ten, it would probably favor as well, given the strength of schedule. Tausch, where do you think the college football playoff is going to go if this thing does expand to 16 teams, which is also something that's going to be floated? Apparently, that needs to be decided before December 1st. There's a lot going on with the college football playoff.
There is. I think we saw yesterday the SEC, I think his name is Sankey, the commissioner. He had come out and basically said that we're not going to listen to the NCAA anymore. I think that's a couple years down the road. They're going to break off, and as we've seen with the money, the SEC and the Big Ten are ruling the roost. Everybody else is going to be fighting for scraps. So what's going to happen, and I actually like this. I mentioned something similar to this last year because I felt this was the way this was going. Conference championship games, they're cute. I think basketball, they still have a good spot because you can have that miraculous run and get in. But the idea of Ohio State didn't even play in the Big Ten championship game last year, if my memory is correct.
That is correct. It was Penn State and Oregon.
So what are we doing? What are we doing? Make it bigger, because I understand you got to bring revenue in. Have more teams scrapping for a spot to get in a Big Ten playoff, an SEC playoff, and have the 1 versus 8. If the 8 knocks off the 1, the 8 is in, and the 1 can still get an at-large. So I think the thing the SEC and the Big Ten are going to look at and say, how can we get more eyeballs at the end of the year and not just have Iowa playing Indiana in a Big Ten champ, which I don't think will ever happen, but you could have an Iowa-Indiana game at Iowa's place in December for who wins gets in the college football playoff. That's sexy. Wisconsin, maybe they struggle early, get good at the end, start finding themselves. They sneak into a 7th slot. Hey, we got to go over to Oregon in December, and as a 7th seed, we can knock off that 2 seed, and we're in the big dance. That has some sex appeal to me.
So it's not a conference.
A lot of sexy going on there.
You're big sexy. It's not a conference tournament per se. You would just play those matchups at the end. Like, if the 8 beats the 1, they then don't advance to play the next team.
No, they're
in. 10.
The 8 is in.
I couldn't agree with you more on the conference championships at this point. It's not like the NFL plays a NFC North championship game at the end of the season. Well, they did last year, but it's not scheduled. That's my question, is if you do this, the NFL doesn't need it. You're basically becoming the NFL with 16 playoff teams, right? There's actually more playoff teams in college football than there are in the NFL playoffs. They're at 14. I understand you don't want to lose revenue. I understand you're trying to solve a problem. I don't love anything about the conference after the conference season is over. If you're going to go to 16, you're going to go to 16. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I was the one who was pushing for this to be expanded. Barry Alvarez and I, against you, And it's become more convoluted. I like it less and less every day. Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
You like it less and less every day?
I do. Every
I'll
time they do something, I like
take
it less.
You bad on anything.
And it was pretty lukewarm. I do love the concept at the end of the season. Because, again, we have all decided that we just want to be entertained. And that is where I'm coming from on this prism.
Mm-hmm.
Because do I think it's great that college players, now they're getting paid, are going to be playing 14, 15. And now if you end up doing what I think they're going to end up doing, which is the 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5, adding that one more game to everybody's docket, and you run the table and you go win a championship, you're looking at 17 weeks of football for college athletes, which is a lot. Plus, I think they still have to go to school. I don't know for sure. I think they still have to go to school. So there's still other things that they have to do. But, man, I'll say that week all of a sudden gets a lot more interesting. You have your rivalry weekend, and it could potentially be, let's run this thing back, Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota, Wisconsin. Maybe Wisconsin runs the tail as a 2 seed. Minnesota sneaks in as a 7, and that gets in. And then you're still going to have the controversy with Sells of, well, that 3 seed from the Big Ten, I think they probably are better than the 2 seed for the second best team. Even though that 3 seed lost to a 6 seed in the Big Ten, that 3 seed should still be in the 16-team playoff. Oh, well, Oklahoma State over here in the Big 12, they have some pretty good wins. You still get all that fodder for all of us just scoundrels to eat at the end of the season. We can debate it, eat it,
not gonna
feed
lie,
the machine.
I was on board until you just outlined it that way, and that sounds more confusing than what we currently have.
A little convoluted, yeah.
No, but
scoundrels eating.
Here's the thing that you always need to remember. You need to have drama. You need to have that. You need to have that feed to feed this machine. The big college football machine, the sports media industrial complex machine, this feeds it in a big way. You want to be that food. You need to have that food. And all of us just psychopaths out here just want it. And we're going to want more. And that's how you continue to grow. So that's what they're going to do.
How are you going to fix the college football playoff? With psychopaths and scoundrels.
Whoa, Nelly.
That's the plan.
Well, wouldn't it be fun, though, if Wisconsin at the end of the year sneaks into the 8? It's been a down year, but we sneak in at an 8 spot in the Big 10, and we have to go to Columbus. And if you shock the world into Columbus at the end of the year, wouldn't that be great? That is something that I can get on board with. Well, it'd be more work.
While we're on the subject.
But you got to feed the scoundrels.
Got to feed the scoundrels.
I get it.
And go to school, sort of.
While we're on the topic of college football, there's an article I stumbled across on ESPN.com this week.
Mm.
My favorite thing.
Power rankings in tiers.
Tiers of college football quarterback situations entering the 2025 season. This is according to college football writer David Hale. There are 20 tiers for the 136 FBS programs.
Which is he related to Alan Hale, skipper?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Nathan Hale. Not sure what he did.
High school.
Yeah.
He's got a high school named after him in West Dallas.
What tier do you think the Wisconsin Badgers are on out of 20? Billy Edwards Jr., the starting quarterback who is confirmed at this point, right, Tausch? Like, that they're not changing that? Like, they're going into the season saying he's the guy?
You have to call the analyst up.
Oh, okay. Sorry, we'll call him another time. Yeah. What tier out of 20 do you think the Badgers are on?
Do you have that guy's number? Because that was a piece of information I'd be curious about.
I would say 8.
Tier 8 is Tausch's guess.
A little bit above middle of the
pack, yeah. Jason?
By the way, Jesse, this is incredibly stupid. Like, if I'm just being honest. We're now tiering we're tiering 20 different sections of tierdom. Like
tier one, top
I'm
of the
fine
class.
With tiering teams, tiering NFL quarterbacks. I mean, how many starting quarterbacks in college football can you name right now?
Not many.
Okay, so what are we doing?
But it's also May. Come September, I'll be able to name.
By November, 20. You'll know like six.
Well, the correct answer is tier 15 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's not great.
How good was Billy Edwards Jr. at? Was it Wake Forest and then Maryland, or was it Maryland and then Wake Forest?
It was definitely Maryland last year.
Maryland was last year. Yeah.
Okay. How good is he?
Good.
Like, what did he do last year?
He was good. We don't know. We have to see. We don't know.
Somebody call the analyst, damn it.
We should add him on today. Tier 15, by the way, is divided into two subcategories. Tier 15A, we used to be somebody top recruits.
All right.
And tier 15B, we used to be somebody established starters.
No. I'm done.
Wow.
Whoa, Nelly. Yeah, that's a rap sheet for me.
Not having that one, huh?
Jesse, you were so excited to have something with 20 tiers.
20 tiers seems like it's like a monopoly of tiers.
And then that, just wait a second, you went 15 tiers and there's a subset of that tier.
Yeah, so there's actually like 25 tiers.
I can't do it.
You sound defeated.
Yeah, that was
tough show today, huh?
Like, Bishop Sankey.
I don't. Yeah.
Mason Rudolph says it's good to be wanted as he takes first team reps at Steelers OTA practices. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, good for Mason. I think it's good that he feels that way. We all want to feel wanted, so it's great that you feel that way.
Jesse, do you feel wanted right now?
I do not. I wish I would have left with the Brewers on ESPN Madison.
We did talk about Aaron Rodgers and Terry Bradshaw, who's clearly not a fan of this idea of him coming to Pittsburgh. So Mason Rudolph has one fan in Terry Bradshaw. So he's got that going for him, which is nice. All right, we will wrap up the show.
I got a hunch Terry Bradshaw won't be a fan of him when the Steelers are 2-14, but Mason Rudolph's leading the charge. I'm sure Terry will be really, if he's still on Fox, which I'm sure he will be, I'm sure he'll be super excited about his team.
I would think so. All right, we're going to wrap things up next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt.
Wilde and Tausch, I'm going to catch the end of OTA practice over at Ray Nitschke Field / the Hudson Center. We'll see if the rain holds out. Tausch, what else do I need to be on top of here today? We talked about the offensive line. I'm going to be paying attention to that. I'm going to be paying attention to the wide receivers. I was thinking, I'm very curious. The position that I think is strongest on their roster is safety, right? X, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, Ketan Oladapo, Zane Anderson. All those guys started a game last year, at least one. I'm curious what the pecking order is. My guy Evan Williams, the Micah Hyde of 2025, is still the running mate.
Evan Williams is going to be the guy. I would be shocked if he's not next to X. And then, you know, Bullard figuring out different ways. And this is where that Jair piece will come into play, because you're going to have to try and find – it's going to mimic a little bit of like what the O-line is. Find your best five, six guys and then figure out how do we piece all this together to make this thing go. But the fun part about this is there's not any glaring like, oh, my gosh. But there's a lot of spots where it's up in the air. And it's hopefully up in the air because you have really good players that are competing for it, and it's not going to be guys just winning their jobs by default. But I don't know how this is possible. I think this year's camp will be more competitive when it comes to job spots than last year. Mm-hmm. And last year, the team was younger and more unproven. This team should, in essence, be more proven and older, and I think there's going to be more open competition for spots. If you believe what Goody and Matt LaFleur are telling you, it is going to be, there's probably six or seven spots that are wide open, whereas last year it was what? A safety, you had a right guard. There wasn't the same amount of, ooh, what's going on? And, of course, the wide receiver position, figuring out how that's going to shake out.
So that's the guy I'm curious about. The reason I brought up safety before we go is that, like, what is Javon Bullard going to be? Like, again, we don't know how the Jair situation is going to end. We talked about it yesterday. There's a power play involved here of, oh, I'm coming without restructuring the contract to try and speed things along. But if he's back, where's Javon Bullard going if he's not going to be the nickel and if he's not going to be the safety, here's a second-round pick who is kind of a man without a country a little bit.
Well, I think Hobbs, what is Hobbs going to do? There is a lot of TBDs yet. There's a ton of TBD going on. And I don't think that's a bad thing. The problem is you're already cutting your offseason short. Training camp, how are you going to decipher this? And I think the problem is you're going to have to go through 3 or 4 weeks of a regular season to really get a feeling of how this thing is going to shake itself out. I don't know if you'll get all the answers when you're only going to have 12 or 13 padded practices and probably not going to play a ton in preseason football.
Well, it all starts today, the first of six OTA practices, followed by the mandatory minicamp June 10th through the 12th, and then they are off until training camp opens around July 20th-ish is when that window figures to be open. So we will see how things play out during training camp. We'll see what we find out today. I do not know who I'm talking to. I know I'm talking to Matt LaFleur, and I know I'm talking to Jordan Love. I do not know who the other players are since we don't have locker room access. We've got selected players being brought to us, so we'll see who those players are. We'll talk about what we saw tomorrow, and we'll do it again then. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.